Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Eva Unplugged. Hey, y'all. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like with every time I sit down in front of this camera, on this mic, I feel a little bit more confident being in this space. Last night, I sent out several emails inviting some women that I adore to be on the podcast. So I'm hoping that soon we will be joined with other voices here, because I feel like it would be worthwhile. These are women who I get to observe do life. Some of them I get to do life with. And I have been encouraged in their own journey of becoming. And so I think it would be awesome to be able to share them with you. And so that's something to look forward to, hopefully. So as y'all know, it's Wednesday, and Yvette Unplugged is always released on a Wednesday. And so as a part of my show, I like to do a woman crush Wednesday in order to highlight some woman in the world. And so today I have decided to highlight Amanda Gorman. I feel like the world got to know her just recently at the presidential inauguration. She is a 22-year-old poet who spoke at the inauguration or performed at the inauguration, and I think she is awesome. I actually encountered this post about her that I'm just going to read a little facts about her. Amanda Gorman rose to new levels of fame overnight after reciting her poem, "The Hill We Climb," at the Biden inauguration. She was named the first ever National Young Poet Laureate, I don't know how to say that word, y'all, in 2017, and at age 22 is the youngest poet to deliver an inaugural address. That's awesome. Amanda was specifically chosen by Dr. Jill Biden to perform at the inauguration. She finished her inaugural poem in the wake of the Capitol riots, feeling compelled to address the insurrection in her performance. She added lines to her poem about the riots that night. Amanda is the daughter of a single mother, grew up in Los Angeles, and recently graduated from Harvard with a degree in sociology. She's written a children's book called Change Sings, a children's anthem, which aims to empower children to be hopeful and make change. In 2016, Amanda founded a nonprofit called One Pen, One Page. Its mission is to empower youth to use their voices and help eliminate inequality through education. In 2017, Amanda announced her intention to run for president in 2036, the first year she'll be eligible, at the age of 37. On Good Morning America, she recently confirmed that a bid for the presidency is still in her sights. How dope would that be for her to have been the youngest poet to perform an inaugural poem, and then 14 years later run for president and possibly win? That is amazing. This young girl inspires me so much because... and this is kind of getting it. And I'm just going to go. I don't know how to like make these things flow, but we're just going to go for it. Today's topic of the podcast, I really wanted to address my mantra for the year. Every year I try to have a word or something that I'm kind of clinging to in order to kind of help me just get through the year or be more intentional about how I am championing through the year. And so my mantra this year is I can do hard and uncomfortable. I'm sorry, let me back up. My mantra this year is I can do, I know my mantra. Okay, my mantra this year is I can joyfully do hard and uncomfortable things. And the more I learn about Amanda, the more I'm encouraged in my mantra for the year. Like, this girl is 22 years old and is already doing so many things and impacting the world in such a great way. And then, like, just to think about the fact that, you know, I saw this post the other day. I wish I would have bookmarked it, but it said something about, like, single motherhood is not automatically like a hard life. you know? It was something basically like, don't think, oh, just because I'm a single mother, I'm struggling or it's hard. And maybe, and I think that parenthood in general can be hard, you know? I can't imagine doing it alone. And I know there are so many people who do. And I always give major kudos to the women who are a single mother. But to think about the fact that Amanda's mom was a single mother and her daughter ended up at like Harvard and graduating and speaking at the actual presidential inaugural and was handpicked to do so is just amazing. And so I'm sure this girl set her sights on things and just went for it. And I remember once upon a time when I would set goals and crush them, sometimes effortlessly. I don't know if I'm overselling myself, but I often would set a bar and then get to that and then set a new bar. And so I'm really proud of Amanda, especially as a young Black female who all of a sudden is just getting so many likes. And the cool thing is so many people saw that. I started following her on Instagram the day after, or maybe even the day of the inauguration. And she had posted in her stories like, oh my gosh, you guys, I think my Instagram is broke. I hit 1 million followers. Guys, the inauguration wasn't that like last week or maybe, yeah, last week? What's today? I don't even know. It was last week and she's already at 3.1 million followers on Instagram. So I believe a lot of us see a light in this girl. And the crazy thing is, it's not a crazy thing, but the quote that is most quoted from her poem is, there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. And I think that day, so many of us saw the light beaming from Amanda Gorman, and we decided that we wanted to get more of that. And that's why we have followed her on Instagram and all the things. And so today's Women Crush Monday. I mean, what the heck? Y'all, when I record these podcasts, it is like 5 o'clock in the morning right now. It is actually 6:07 a.m. But I have been up since 5 a.m. So yeah, I'm all jumbled. Anyway, today's Woman Crush Wednesday is Amanda Gorman. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, then you need to get from under the rock you're living in and go figure out who this woman is. She is beautiful soul. And so, yes, let's get right into it. Today, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about my 2021 mantra. As you know, if you don't know, if you're a new listener to the podcast, welcome. Thank you so much for listening. I share on here just kind of my journey to becoming. I process a lot of things. I share with you things that I am in the process of processing. And I kind of just talk it out. And so today I wanted to share with you my mantra. I shared it on Instagram and it seemed to resonate with several people. And so I figured I'd elaborate in this space. It's kind of funny to me because I usually do have a word. And I remember my word for 2018. My word for 2018 was celebrate. My word for 2019 was chosen. But I cannot remember my word for 2020. And I'm like, why can't I remember my word? And I know I've written it down somewhere, but for the sake of this podcast, I did not go and look it up. I should have. But it's just so interesting to me that I cannot remember it. But in order to talk about what I want to talk about today, I'm kind of going back to my word in 2019, which was chosen. I've broken my mantra up into four parts. And I'm going to start with the first part of it, which says, I can. Everybody knows that scripture, Philippians 4:13. Well, I don't know if everybody knows it, but there's a scripture called... There's a scripture, Philippians 4:13, and it says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I think that one of the main things for me is actually believing that I can. You know, I think sometimes, especially in this season of motherhood and navigating through being a wife to an entrepreneur, newly identified as a CEO, and then trying to help like build a business or even just kind of sustain a business. Sometimes my capacity feels such that I cannot. And so a lot of times I feel as though I can't. But as a woman, and as a woman, I feel like sometimes as women, I feel like sometimes we just have to kind of push through. Like there is no other choice but to be able to, if that makes sense. Like no matter if you can't, you have to. And I don't know if that sounds defeating or feels like a lack of hope or whatever the case may be, but it kind of is what it is. And so in talking about this first part, I looked up a few scriptures. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." This scripture resonates so much with me because I grew up with my mom and dad actually singing a song in church together. And it said, it was basically that scripture that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He's faithful to complete it. And I think for me, I find that encouraging because even when I feel like I can't, but I have to, I know that the Lord will carry me through it. Does that make sense? Like he is my strength. That if he has brought me to this point to have to do something, then he will be faithful to carry me through to the end. He's not a God of incompletion. He is a God of completion. And even if the completion takes longer to happen than I would prefer, or if the completion doesn't come to fruition the way that I feel like it should, it's still going to come to completion. Another scripture I found was Isaiah 41:10, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous hand." And so that to me also, it just affirms that I can. I think I mentioned to you guys, I don't know when, in some podcast before this one, that this year I really want to be more intentional about being aware of God's word and letting that kind of cover my mind and my spirit. I think a lot of times I can get distracted with so much information. You know, I am a huge fan of podcasts. So a lot of times I'll listen to podcasts and kind of take that in, and that stuff starts to kind of just seep into my mind and it's all out of my thoughts. And I don't think podcasts are bad, obviously. Here I am, and you shouldn't stop listening. I'm just kidding. But I do think that I need to also be consuming just as much of God's word. I need all of that in order to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And so I think for me, a lot of times when I do encounter these moments of defeat or despair, or like, I just cannot do this, is when I don't realize where my strength, where my power comes from. And it comes from the Lord. And when I think about just his goodness and all the things that he's done and all the examples in the word of how he's brought people out and called them to stages or platforms, you know, of course, that's not necessarily the words in the Bible, stages or platforms, but he's called them to a place to do his work, to bring glory to him. And so I can, because I've been chosen. And even though that's not my word for the year, that's an old word from 2019, I still be holding on to that. And I'm actually going to read from my Bible. And I think I've shouted out this Bible before, but it's the She Reads Truth Bible. I really adore it. Anyways, just letting y'all know this is the Bible I'm reading from. But when I had the word chosen, when my word was chosen in 2019, John 15 was my scripture passage. And I am going to read quite a bit. And I think it's okay for me to do that. Don't fast forward. Really hear these words and listen to them and let them resonate in your spirit. But I am going to read them in this moment. John 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. I'm going to read that last verse again. That's verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. And I'm not done reading the chapter or that the verses that I want to read, but that in and of itself, like the whole imagery of a branch and a vine, like you cannot produce fruit if you're not attached. You're dormant, right? If it's not, like, you can't do nothing. And so for me, that speaks volumes because it's like, yes, Yvette, you can, but you have to know like how you're able to can. Like you can't in and of yourself, but you can in and of the Holy Spirit. And so for me this year, it's like, okay, girl, just be more and more aware of where your strength comes from. It's not about you. It's not what you can do, but it's what God can do through you. It's about the fruit that he will produce through you. And so I can, y'all. I can. I'm going to keep reading. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. If you're watching, I'm looking at you. If you're listening, I'm winking at you. I'm thinking about you. I'm moving on to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I like the repetition of remain because I think that it's just, let's see what remain means really quick. I'm so sorry. I love definitions. So I am going to look that up real quick. Remain means to stay in the place that one has been occupying. So if we remain in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can. We can. We can, y'all. We can. All right, I'm going to keep reading. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. If you can't see me, I'm doing that old Baptist mother rock. I always do it. I'm going to read that one again. And we're going to come back to that when I get to the next part of my mantra. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Verse 12. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I'm sorry. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose me. This is verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I don't know if y'all are hearing the repetition of that, but God already said that earlier up in chapter 15. This is what I command you, love one another. And so I brought us back, I brought myself back there in talking about this year's mantra, because the fact of the matter is, God chose me. He chose you. Wherever you are in your life right now, whatever journey you're embarking upon, whatever you are called to in this moment, God chose you for that. And therefore, you can. You can because he chose you. He believes that you are the right person for this moment, for this journey, for these people, for whatever it is that you're facing. Oh, Lord. Whew, I am not going to cry anymore on any other podcast. And so I'm getting emotional with that because I'm basically speaking to myself. I can because God chose me to, you know, he chose me. And so that's where that first part comes from. And I also want to share with you guys, I had another scripture that I wanted to share with you, which is Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. And so for me, I can just, like that first part, I can just truly embracing that really helps me to know, like, I can because of whose I am, because of who I belong to. I can because God has called me to this, and he would not call me to this if he wasn't planning to equip me with the things that I need in order to do, which takes us to the next part. Joyfully do. I'm not going front. Originally, my mantra was, I can do hard and uncomfortable things. When I was sharing this with my therapist, she was like, ugh. She's like, yeah, that's cool. But can we add an adjective? And I was like, okay, what do you mean? And she's like, can we put something in front of the do? Because she's like, you know, yeah, you can do hard and uncomfortable things, but are you going to be, begrudgingly? Are you going to be resentfully doing hard things? Like, how are you going to be doing these hard things? And I was like, oh. And something that I have, another phrase that I've kind of held on to that has actually become very commercialized and popular amongst many is choose joy. And so that is where joyfully do comes from. So I can joyfully do. And yeah. let's go back to that verse 11, John 15, verse 11, where it says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And I'm not going to front, like, in reading those first 17 verses of chapter 15 of John, there was like this affirmation that came from God that was empowering and did bring me some kind of joy, even just reading it a couple minutes ago. Like, there is joy in knowing all that God has for me, and the fact that he is the one he is the one carrying me through this journey of becoming. And so I can joyfully do these things. it takes a whole heck of a lot of intentionality, y'all. Like, I'm not going front. Sometimes it's really hard to choose joy. Sometimes it is easier to feel sorry for myself. Sometimes it is easier to just want to go and like cry into a pillow. Like, I don't expect to be joyful 100% of the time. I know that there are going to be hard days. There are going to be uncomfortable days, but I have to choose joy. And one thing I am coming to know is there is always something to be joyful about. And for me, I think I've shared with you guys, I think it was in like the things I've learned from 2020 about like how I was having this, this level of conflict with this concept of gratitude, because for me, it felt like gratitude was sometimes a way of settling. And it was like, you know, just be grateful for what you got, be grateful for what you're doing, you know? And it was like, okay, well, yeah, I am grateful, but I still want more. And I think that's okay for me to want more. But I share that to say that for me, my joy, a lot of the times does come from gratitude. When I focus on the things that I can be grateful for while working toward the things that I truly want for my life, there is an element of joy that starts to arise in my spirit, and that I truly am able to smile and embrace whatever it is in front of me, that's in front of me in a way that, I don't know, that gives me a level of power and strength. And every time I think about joy, I think of that one song. I'm gonna sing, y'all. I'm sorry, I don't know how it's gonna sound, but it goes, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, no, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I love the Black Baptist Church. I love it so much. But yeah, that's a song that we grew up singing in the church. And I always think about that. If you really, truly know where your joy comes from, it comes from the Lord. And it'll be less fragile, or less, I can't think of the words. My vocabulary is not as extensive as I would like it to be. But basically, it will not fade away. You know, the joy, it remains. Remain in me and I in, what does it say? The one, remain in me and I in you, right? And that is where our joy comes from. That is how we sustain our joy, when we realize the true source of where our joy comes from. And so, yes, I can joyfully do hard and uncomfortable things. Did I already share with y'all Nehemiah 8:10? If I didn't, I'm sharing it again. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so as you embrace that, you can, I can. I can joyfully do. Which takes us to the next part, hard things. I looked up the word hard. Hard means requiring a great deal of endurance or effort. I chose hard because I feel like in 2020, I had to do some hard things. And I'm not going to be specific about what those things are in this particular episode of the podcast, but there were things that I had to do that were just hard. And sometimes I encountered those things and I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that. And I feel like sometimes that attitude is okay, but other times it's not. Sometimes we have to do the hard things. And so even when I don't want to do hard things, I shared this quote with you guys before that reads, marriage is hard, divorce is hard, Choose your hard. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your hard. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard, but we can choose our hard. Pick wisely. And a lot, when I think about the hard things part of my mantra for this year, I think about that. Like, my hard is my choice. And so I'm going to choose the hard that is going to probably produce the most fruit, knowing that God has got this. And the hard that is in front of me, I can do through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to go into the uncomfortable part as well. Uncomfortable, I found a definition. It says, uncomfortable is causing or feeling slight pain or physical discomfort, or causing or feeling unease or awkwardness. Hard and uncomfortable, to me, they're different and the same. You know, hard things are things that require great endurance or effort. Uncomfortable things are things that, you know, they just uncomfortable and awkward. Like, you can, you just feel kind of whatever doing it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to explain it. Okay, I'll give you an example of uncomfortable. For me, my mom calls them courageous conversations. But for me, courageous conversations are very uncomfortable, right? Like, you have to, like, you have to bring up an issue you're having with a person and address it in a way that hopefully brings about some kind of change. And those conversations are very uncomfortable for me, but they are also very necessary for me to have. Sometimes I avoid them all completely. Like, if my husband's listening to this right now, he would probably say, interesting point, Yvette. But something that I have always valued is my comfort. And so for me, I wanted to be specific about the hard things and the uncomfortable things. And the cool thing that I'm realizing, or it's not anything new that I'm realizing, but in the hard and in the discomfort, we experience growth, right? I have this fascination with plants. Right now, I've had it for the past couple of years, actually. But I was thinking about this part, and this may be completely wrong or whatever in how I'm thinking about it. I probably need to do more research before I even talk, but here I am. I'm going to talk. But when I think about a seed, when you touch a seed, it's generally kind of hard. Like, it's got a hard surface. And then you put it into the dirt, right? And then through watering it and this thing called photosynthesis and all the things, it starts to break out of that seed. Like, roots start to break out of the seed and then grab a hold of the soil, and then eventually something comes from beneath the surface and blossoms. Does that make sense? And so in my mind, me choosing to joyfully do hard and uncomfortable things, I am picturing this growth thing process. Basically, this whole idea of John 15. I picture this whole, like, I can joyfully do hard and uncomfortable things. I picture me doing these things, and I'm seeing myself blossoming or becoming all that God has called me to be. I am aware of, to a certain extent, I am aware of where God is calling me to. I'm aware of where God has called me to in this season. And I have an inclination of where He's calling me to in future seasons. And so I know that there is a work that's being done in me right now in this moment, that He is faithful to complete it. And I actually, when I go on my walks, around our neighborhood, I see the trees, y'all. I see the trees changing, you know, how like sometimes the leaves fall and then they come back. And there's this one plant on my walk where the jasmine flowers start to bloom and they just smell so good. But it's not a year-round thing, you know? There is a pruning that takes place in different seasons. And so for me, I really am trying to embrace these seasons. I'm trying to embrace the work that I cannot see that is being done in these seasons. And so 2021 is me saying I can joyfully do hard and uncomfortable things. And some of those hard things that I'm speaking of are things like doing a podcast or working for my husband's business or stepping out on my own and doing some things for myself. And some of those things, the hard things too, are or uncomfortable things are being judged for how I choose to do my life. But such is this season that I'm in. And I am wholeheartedly embracing it. I'm proud of the work that I'm doing to become who God has called me to be, to fully embrace everything that He has for me. And yeah, so there's a little bit of background about my 2021 mantra. Per usual, I like to leave y'all with a little something, something. And so I already shouted out my book, my Bible, which is She Reads Truth, which actually one of my followers bought for me years ago. And I don't know if you're listening, but I just want to say thank you. For John 15, there is like a devotional, and I'm going to read the last part of it and then leave you guys with that. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for giving me this moment of your time. I know that you guys have so many other things that you could be doing, and maybe you're listening while you're washing dishes. That's what I like to do sometimes, or while you're on your morning walk or whatever it is. But I just thank you for inviting me to be along with you. And I hope that you have found some encouragement in this episode of Yvette Unplugged. And here we are. Yes, bear fruit. Yes, love others. Yes, give grace to a world that will misunderstand and even hate us. But look back through John 15. Jesus is not commanding his disciples to bear fruit. The command is to remain. When we remain, we abide in the never-ending, unconditional, forever love of Christ. Then the fruit will come, but only then. We bear fruit when and only when we are grafted into the true vine. His Holy Spirit in us is the fruit producer. I'm going to read that again. His Holy Spirit in us is the fruit producer. We are simply the branches who have the privilege of displaying His fruit. Oh, let me read it one more time, y'all. His Holy Spirit in us is the fruit producer. We are simply the branches who have the privilege of displaying it. Jesus Christ comes to make us new. He comes to redeem the dead branches that we are and give us abundant life. Remaining in Him, resting, dwelling, abiding in Him is the only source of our strength, our goodness, our fruit. Let's focus our eyes on the true vine today. Let's be about the business of remaining in Jesus and trust His Spirit to be about the business of bearing fruit in our lives. Thank you so much for listening. Happy hump day, y'all.